Hi, and welcome to the Switch Natural podcast. My name is Andrea Dar, and on my journey to find non-toxic products, I've met some amazing people. People that are driven by their life experiences to create something new that can help others on their wellness journey. I'm sharing candid conversations so that you can be inspired too. I imagine that your day-to-day is a lot different than it was back when you were a chemical engineer. So I would love to hear about your background, what that career change has been like. Have you taken aspects from that? Has it been helpful for you now that you're formulating skincare?
Yeah, so I'm a chemical engineer. I have a bachelor's from Columbia and a master's from Princeton. And I remember I didn't even know what chemical engineering was until I was in my last year of high school and had to choose a major. I just knew I liked chemistry and math, and I put them together. But so my chemical engineering experience has been in the pharmaceutical industry. I made diabetes drugs, birth control patches. I did CPG where I made teeth whitening strips. I made nail color strips.
Really? I did lipsticks. That's so interesting. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's very diverse.
It wasn't my intention. I started in pharma because I was like, oh, I want to make medicine and help the world. That went by pretty quickly. You know, pharma is an interesting business. And I was like, okay, not really one for me. Went into CPG more business. I just loved making products and more practical products that I could see on the shelf and that people use every day. Did lipsticks for a while at Avon, made colored lipsticks, different formulations and glosses. I think that was where I got my formulation bug. Like, oh, I love making things that you can use right away, right? You don't have to do all these different 10 years worth of testing and clinical testing. I got my CPG bug there. And then most recently I worked at McCormick in their vanilla extracts, and it was just not just vanilla. It was every extract, and they have the biggest extract production. And that was just fascinating. And it was nice to be, and you know, while I was there, we helped like double their vanilla production, and it was one of the best experiences ever. So I loved being a chemical engineer. It is tough being a process engineer and having kids, I must say. That schedule is really, really hard, because what I did is the chemist would come up with a formula. I sort of get it, have to put it in a pilot plant setting, like test it in production, and sometimes directly in manufacturing and talking. I love talking to the chemist, and you have quality, just all these different interactions. So my job was not sitting at my desk all the time. It was doing all these things as well as seeing the product come off the line. And when you see a product that you've made come off the line, there's just such an amazing feeling about that. But again, it is a really, really hard job to do. Production scheduling timing is really hard to do, and I have four kids. So
yeah, throwing kids in the mix changes the game. Mm-hmm, yeah, I was working in a completely different field before. And when I was pregnant with my twins, I thought I would just go right back to it. And I kept putting it off and putting it off because it was client service. Mm-hmm. And there's just no regular hours.
If that's the thing.
I couldn't imagine being away all day. It was just really hard to imagine doing both.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm glad I had like the timing, like we could pause, you know, my husband just be on one income for a while. I actually went back to school to get my MBA thinking I do something just different. After my first, I started doing part-time MBA. I went to business school, got my MBA over 6 years. So I had two more babies in there. We were in Maryland, the University of Maryland. So I got over 6 years part-time. I got my MBA, and it was right after that I decided to do, to try starting my own business. And, you know, went through a few bumps in a way to do that and went through a few ideas. I actually went back to work because I wasn't sure about the entrepreneurial track. And that's when I went back to work at McCormick in their vanilla production. But while I was doing all that, I was formulating products for my son's skin and just love formulating skincare, and came up with some of these ideas and learnings through about the microbiome and children's the chemistry of their skin and what products would be good for them. And really started formulating the idea of Kiss Kiss Goodnight. And how it's changed now is I used to interact with a lot of different people and a lot of different teams to come up with a product. And I just talk to myself all the time, maybe my husband, because it really is all me now.
Amazing.
I do the formulation, I do the production, source the raw materials. I work through the process. The only thing we do, we obviously send everything out to be tested, clinically tested.
Oh, wow. Okay.
For skin, make sure it's safe on your skin. And then also microbial testing to make sure it just doesn't have any microbial contamination and the process is sturdy enough that even if there was a contamination, that the process can take care of it. So right. we do that outside testing because we don't have a micro facility here. But yeah, I do all of that. And there's so many benefits to doing that, but it can get a bit challenging. That's a lot.
So you are involved in control of every aspect mm-hmm. of this brand and every aspect of the products. One of the things that you mentioned that I find so interesting, it's something that I'm passionate about, is the microbiome. I read this book called The Human Superorganism. Maybe you read it too, like years ago. And it just completely opened my eyes that our microbiome is the foundation for our health, really. And I think it's, people are not aware. It's not widely talked about. And so were you interested in the microbiome first, or is this something that you learned about throughout this process of creating skincare?
Unfortunately, it was something I learned about through creating skincare for my little ones. And I say unfortunately, because I really, really wish I learned this. This is not new information. It is becoming more popular, but I really wish I learned this in school or somewhere else, because I think I would have made decisions differently just throughout my life. And I'm grateful I know it now, but the microbiome is something I learned while I was researching the skin and children's skin in particular. While I was prepping for this, I was trying to remember, did I learn about the microbiome and then started making skincare for it? Or how did this happen? And actually the first thing that happened was, I don't know where I heard about it. It was like, take less baths and that will improve your skin. Like taking less baths will improve your child's skin. We're really overwashing, we're over cleansing, we're doing everything too much. And that was the first trigger. I was like, why would taking less baths? Because, you know, honestly, if he had an itch, if he had a flare up or anything, I'd put him in the bath.
And so, was this your second? I think you've told me.
This was my second. Yeah. My first didn't have any issues other than like baby acne that cleared up right away. And it just like, okay, less baths. And we did it and it worked wonders. And, really? On just like, minimizing the baths, really thinking strategically when and how we were going to do this shorter baths and things like that. And it clicked that the reason it's working, it's because his microbiome is now thriving. We're not killing it and washing it and destroying it. We're giving it a chance to thrive. So it was that like experience that really got me set into, okay, let me spend some time learning more about this. And okay, we do have to clean our skin sometime. You know, what's the most microbiome friendly way to do so? And then that started me on the track. Okay, what's microbiome friendly cleansing mean? What does it mean in terms of moisturization, in terms of protecting the skin barrier? And then, you know, it just opens up this whole world to how skincare, like how I think skincare should be.
So interesting. So it was really your son's struggle with, you were trying to solve his eczema. So you just started digging and trying to figure out this puzzle. So what was the first product that you created?
Yeah. So the first product was our lullaby melting. I usually have all my products here. Cleanser. And it was funny because one of the questions you asked was like, how did your chemical engineering background play into this? And one of the things you do as an engineer is look for the root cause of the problem. You ask why is this happening until you get to that fundamental reason why it's happening. And the fundamental reason was an imbalance or damaged skin microbiome for us. So that's how my engineering kind of came into play. I was like, okay, so if you really tackle this problem of the skin microbiome, you have the potential to eliminate the problem, which is eliminate eczema, which is a huge something that I didn't think could happen, but we've heard now while I've been studying this. So, you know, that's a possibility. Like before, I think the industry and the marketing tells us we have to manage this and we have to soothe our skin and we have to live with this. And then it's starting to head me thinking of, well, we can try to eliminate this problem. And even better, how do we try to avoid this problem completely? So my mindset changed so much as a parent and as a formulator on entrepreneur, just doing research on the skin microbiome.
Wow. I love that because I think in this wellness space that we're in,
a common theme is root cause. Mm-hmm. And it really can go into so many aspects, but fine. I love that you found the root cause, because we don't want to band-aid everything that doesn't help us in the long term. And I think from what I've heard, people that struggle with sensitive skin or eczema, most people, when they finally express this complaint, they've tried so many things. When all of these things, when you're doing everything that you're hearing to do and nothing is working, you really have to take a step back and think about why, which is exactly what you have done with Kiss Kiss Goodnight. It's really amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. Our lullaby. Just that I had to take a step back. It's almost like first principle science. It's like you forget everything you learned and just go back to the fundamentals and what the skin absolutely needs. And the concept of oil cleansing, which is not new, not innovative, not modern. Oil cleansing has been done forever, right? Before soap, there was oil cleansing. And we just took oil cleansing and we made it a little bit easier. So we have oil-based cleanser here. And so it doesn't have any water in it or anything. And it's an oil-based cleanser. It massages like an oil. We made it a little bit easier by when you put your baby in the bath or your toddler, it turns into a milk. So it's just that much easier to wash off and rinse off. And it just makes, so that's sort of the modernizing part of it. It just makes it easier to clean your bathtub and to clean your kids, and oil doesn't get all over your towels and things like that. So
it's nice that she was doing a demonstration just now that you can rub it in like an oil. And then when you rinse it with water, it does turn into a milk and it washes right off. I wish I had this when my kids were babies. I say that all the time. It's so nice.
I do. I didn't have it for my first three, but I was lucky enough to have it for my four.
Oh, you did?
Wow. Yes, I did. Because it was that right after leaving McCormick, which, and then playing with the idea of Kiss Kiss Goodnight, what really triggered me to leave industry again, because I wanted a fourth. So I couldn't have a fourth baby, have a full-time job, and then try to formulate for Kiss Kiss Goodnight on the side. So then I decided to leave my job, and the baby and Kiss Kiss Goodnight became my thing, which was still really hard to balance.
Right. We don't want to shortchange us, because instead it's not that you give up the full-time. We all know you still have full-time. It's just in a different format.
Oh yes.
In a doable format, right?
Yes. Yes. It was definitely, I've been full-time forever, no matter what I'm doing. I've spent time with the kids, part-time work, done many things, but it's all a full-time.
It's all full-time. That's great. And one of the things you mentioned earlier, and I just want to get your opinion on this, is you bathe the baby less. So what, do you have a recommendation for new parents, like how often they should bathe their babies?
Yeah. And it's so easy for me just to say bathe your baby less, right? What does that really mean? Yeah. So for a newborn, you do the cloth washing until the umbilical cord part falls off. So that's just a cloth. And you can actually use lullaby for newborns. But as they grow older, after that part, you can do twice a week full. And when I say bath, I mean like a full body bath where you're immersing them in water.
Okay.
But there's also that diaper blowout and the, milk going all the way down your neck and it goes into your armpit. So my recommendation there is get used to spot cleaning, get used to cleaning individual areas of the body and not necessarily the entire body. And that's really something to be comfortable doing, right? And just because, the blowout, if you can, just wash the diaper area if you have to do everything. And, just when you have that mindset, that part of taking care of their skin and keeping it healthy is also preserving this microbiome that they're trying so hard to develop and build. You just find a way to get comfortable with all these different things, spot cleaning, bathing less, and things like that. And you'll see that you can do it, especially in the winter. It gets harder in the summer with all the pool and sunscreen and all that. Right. But in the winter is a great time to start experimenting. And it's something to get comfortable with. But once you understand the microbiome, you convince yourself.
Right. And so for someone that is dealing with this right now, is there a first step that you would recommend if they have their child has eczema? So would that be the first thing? Just start bathing less, experimenting with bathing less. Is there anything else?
Right. So eczema is so tricky because there's so many variations, right? You have mild eczema and you have like a chronic state of inflammation, a chronic eczema and high state of inflammation. So my son had something in between where, you know, his eczema would flare up every so often, and less baths and using these gentler skincare was a great solution for him. And of course, you also want to make sure you're eating fruits and vegetables, lots of those, less sugar and less processed food, all that, those things that make you healthy. Like the idea then becomes, how do you strengthen your skin microbiome and your gut microbiome, your microbiome overall? And you start doing those things that would do so. One is less bath, so you have more microbiome on your skin, using gentler skincare, microbiome-friendly skincare, eating healthier, as I mentioned. So those, that's sort of what you want, the mindset that you should be having holistically. How do we better take care of our microbiome? And that works if you, again, if you have occasional flare-ups and some eczema. But some people have this chronic state of inflammation, constant eczema, then you start getting into the atopic march, which is also food allergies and hay fever and asthma, all these different forms of inflammation. Your histamine levels are high. So then we're going into something a little bit more challenging than just minimizing your baths and using gentle skincare, right? At that point, it's amazing because we didn't have this 10 years ago. So many amazing holistic pediatricians, and I've recommended nutritionalists and nurses that will teach you how to preserve your microbiome or rebuild your microbiome in your skin and your gut. And there you would need more professional help to do so. So I never want to simplify it and say, oh, just take less baths because, right. You know, for a baby starting, who's just developing their microbiome and trying to avoid it or trying to avoid the bite or had a first flare up, you know, that could be a solution. But I definitely understand there's more chronic inflammation out there, high histamine levels, high state of just inflammation throughout the body that needs more care.
Right. And can you explain exactly what the microbiome is, and that what we're talking about is a diverse microbiome, right, is the goal. Can you explain a little bit about that? Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of times and I used to say this too, that there's good bacteria on the skin and bad bacteria, and you want more good than bad. But it's actually not as simple as that. You want a variety, because it turns out that it's so hard to get rid of problem bacteria or bad ones. They're just on us. You know, it's hard to, what you want to do is make sure you have the right balance, and different parts of the body has a different balance. Under your neck will have something different than your face and your armpits, and, you know, with different moisture levels, the palm of your hands will have something different. Mm-hmm. So what you really want is the right balance and diversity. And you get, and that's hard to give numbers on exactly what you're supposed to have. And I think we're still collecting data on what you're supposed to have. And the microbiome is not like your genome. Everybody's different, right? It says something like 99.9% of your genome is exactly like your neighbor's, but 80% of your microbiome is different than your neighbor's. It's based on so many different factors in your life. So it's really hard to pinpoint the perfect one, and it changes depending on where you live and things like that. So we always, we say more diverse, and you want imbalance, because you say you have two bacteria competing on your face. If you have more than one of a certain one, you may break out in acne. You want to bring that down a little bit. And so that's hard to understand and collect data for that. But what's amazing about the microbiome is all the things we've been talking about forever and how to be healthy, going outside, eating lots of plants and fruits and veggies. These are all things that do really well for your mind, drinking lots of water, you know, mental health, all the things that you've grown up with knowing that is good for you. You just do those same things, and that's what's going to make you have a healthier microbiome.
Gosh, it's so simple. We can just go back to the basics, right?
That's so hard in a modern day. I know it.
I definitely know. It's very awesome that you've created skincare that is conscious of this and supports the microbiome. So there are skincare products that do damage the microbiome. And I found this study once where they tested certain preservatives and the way and that showed that they actually did reduce certain aspects of the microbiome. So I think it's really nice that we have this option to buy skincare that's focused on the microbiome and that's not going to be doing us more damage than helping us. Yes.
Yeah. And now there's clinical testing like our Lullaby Melting Balm Cleanser, that's been clinically tested for the skin microbiome to show like minimal deviations.
So awesome. That's so great. And this is a certification I think that you shared, right? Mm-hmm. There's actually a certification that mm-hmm. the product goes through a process mm-hmm. and determines whether or not it disrupts the microbiome. Is that correct? What is that called?
Yeah, the certifying body is called My Microbiome. And then you get like, we have an icon, just like you get the organic certification icon. We have an icon now on our bottle and it says microbiome friendly and it has a number. And we've had the lowest grade number you can get in terms of how detrimental you are to the skin microbiome for our cleanser. And we were
well done. Congratulations.
Process maybe 2-3 years ago. And yeah, we were one of the first cleansers to be tested as like a case study.
It's awesome. People can see that seal of approval, just have extra comfort knowing that what they're buying is really healthy for their children. You mentioned McCormick mm-hmm. and I recently read this book in my book club about flavors and they talked about vanilla and how it's so complex, like to get actual vanilla flavor. Mm-hmm. It's very complex. So is there anything you can share about that vanilla in particular as a flavor or fragrance?
Yeah. So vanilla, I love vanilla. Vanilla is actually in one of our bombs, our Peace of Mind protective bomb. And the fun thing about working at McCormick and the vanilla is like, I came home smelling like cookies every day. You smell like vanilla. And so McCormick vanilla specifically, they have the biggest production, and to get their vanilla, you have to combine vanilla from different locations to get their specific profile. So maybe that's where the complication gets, because they, you know, in order to protect their supply and the integrity, they have to make sure, especially when you have like Madagascar, like the typhoons in Madagascar or something like that, and that knocks that product. So their production gets a little bit complicating in that they're sourcing from Bali, from Thailand, like different places to get their specific profile. But it doesn't have to be that complicated.
Okay.
Businesses like McCormick have to make it to preserve their business and their integrity. But we use organic Madagascan vanilla. I extracted here in our lab for our peace of mind, and then it's one bean type, and we steep it in our oil, warm it up over time, and that's how we make our vanilla oil, which is I decide to do it in our lab because it's actually extremely expensive, and vanilla price fluctuates a lot depending on, of course, where it's sourced and how the sourcing is going and all that, the climate changes and things like that. So we've decided to do it in our lab. And I actually have a video to share on that one day. I will on Instagram
about how to do that.
Yeah. How to make your own vanilla oil. And vanilla, what I love about vanilla is that it's an extract. It's not an essential oil. So it's not as volatile and it doesn't have that same reactivity as essential oils. So essential oils, you get that aroma as they volatilize into the air. Okay. And vanilla is just a more complex and heavier compound that will sit, and it's more of a base note. And so it's less reactive on the skin. It's in the Peace of Mind Protective Balm. I have a version here, like this one.
I love that balm. It's nice.
I put it in there. So it has the Kupua Su butter, which is that cocoa butter smell, but it was a little bit too overpowering. And I wanted to just make it a little bit mellow. And that's where the vanilla comes
okay.
in.
Okay. That's interesting because mm-hmm. it does have such a nice mild smell. I love mm-hmm. that about it. And I would not have pinpointed exactly what it is, but now that all makes sense. And one of the things you talked about is working in your lab. And I think that this is something that's unexpected, that's very unique and remarkable about you, is that you make all of this skincare in your lab at home, right?
Yeah. So we moved last year, and a big part of the move was so I can have a bigger production site. So now we're sitting on about maybe more than 1,000 square feet of just lab and, and storage and things like that. And we definitely have room to grow. And it just makes family life and work life a lot easier for me. So I have this full, basement where I do all of the work and, you know, production is my specialty. It's what I've done in my career. So I have great confidence in it. And, you know, that's just a lot of people who started a skincare brand usually have marketing or retail experience. But for me, it's the formulating and the production aspect of it. And I really think that's what makes us unique. So all these the formulation and production and sourcing the ingredients, which is extremely important, go through my eyes and my lens. And I'm really particular about everything I do when it comes to it. So even say our Sweet Whispers, it's a specific bottle. It's an airless bottle because that keeps our formula just sealed off. And you can't touch it and it can't interact with air, which makes it so that we can use a gentler preservative system. And this is our only water-based system, our lotion. So it's all these different things that play together that I have and that I can work on. And I love it right now. I love it. I love to be able to control. I'm not a control freak per se, but I love to be able to control all these parts of the business because then I can make something truly unique and to share with the world. So I do feel like all our products, what I try to do is ensure I'm making something that is different than what you can find in the market. Because I want to create something unique and most
I appreciate that friendly. So much because really there are so many duplicates on the market. It almost feels wasteful. Right? There's just so much out there. The market is so saturated and to have something unique that is so thoughtful from beginning to end, under your watchful eyes, it's really nice to have. And I appreciate that we have the option to buy something like that. So I guess if maybe you will continue to do this as long as possible, or will you ever outsource?
The production, you know, we'll see as we scale, I haven't 100% made up my mind on that. And on reality, it may mean outsourcing some of the production, keeping some in-house. I don't necessarily want to run a factory, but if I can strategically figure out how we can sort of use the same equipment, similar raw ingredients, just streamline production and that I could still keep production in-house, that yeah. would be amazing. But there's right. a lot of streamlining that has to be done. So I don't try to create a factory for Kiss Kiss Goodnight at this moment. Because part of it, as I share, I want to do a lot of educating around the microbiome and spend my time just sharing this information with others. So it really depends on how I decide to divvy up my time as we scale and grow. I'll start making those decisions, but it'll probably be a little bit of both.
Right. It seems like you've been able to find your sweet spot. You're able to be with your family. You're able to have it at your house. You're able to expand in the ways that you needed to expand to still have control. It sounds like you've done something really special.
Oh, it's a challenge. If I make it look extremely easy, it's a huge challenge, as you know, running a business, a small business, to check in and check out when family is always so close to you. It's even hard when the kids start coming home at 3:30 to switch off, because especially when you're so passionate about it, you're like, oh, one more. But yeah, I've been trying like even this holiday weekend, it was okay. The first 3 days are with family. And then the next 2 days I have to get back and, you know, production, ship orders and things like that. And, it's challenging, but yeah, it's working
for us. It definitely is challenging balancing it all. I think that's a good tip, is to maybe before the holidays, I find myself in the same position over the holidays. I suddenly feel extremely behind in all of the work stuff. But like you said, if you can say, I'm going to do 3 days with family, 2 days, try to focus on work. And then you're not, what I don't like to do is be on my phone with my kids, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's the hard part. And they'll check me on it, because my kids are older now and they'll check me on it. They're like, oh, no, don't go on your phone.
How old is your oldest now?
She's 13.
She's 13. And your youngest is?
Yeah. And my youngest is three.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So I would like to know, and I'm going to share my thoughts on this too. What is your favorite product that you've created?
So my favorite product is going to have to be the first product we created, which is our Lullaby Melting Balm Cleanser. This product, of course, I probably spent the most time on it too, but it's really why I started Kiss Kiss Goodnight. It's just gentler way to clean baby skin, because baby's microbiome is really developing within their first 3 years of life. After the first 3 years, it is what it is, and it's extremely difficult to change the microbiome. It just grows back exactly as it's used to. So I think good skincare in the beginning. Lullaby is made with 10 ingredients. It's really clean, organic. It's mostly oils. There's no waters in there. It's just such a gentle and great way to clean baby. And if I had it my way, every child would have something like this available to them, you know, for their first few years of life. Because I really think in our modern society, with all the different things fighting our microbiome all the time, you know, using a gentle cleanser like this is a way to help preserve that. And I hope, you know, you have these bigger goals, and I'm like hoping a product like Lullaby will help start changing as more people start to use it. The statistic of how many people have sensitive skin and have eczema, you know, that's like sort of your big dream with, that's what my big dream with a product Lullaby Melting Balm Cleanser is, you have the ability to influence the skin in the first 3 years of life and really set it up for a really successful and good path. And our motto is, we want to help little ones develop healthy and resilient skin. So they don't have to worry about, resilient skin. They don't want have to worry about if all of a sudden they have an interaction with a fragrance, or like, you know, their skin can handle it. They have a strong microbiome to handle all the different things that come at them when they enter into the world. And so that's our hope. And I think Lullaby is one of the best products out there to do that.
Yeah. And one of the other things that I love about that product is, especially for a new mom, I think a lot of new parents are trying to clean up their routine, right? They want to make sure they're using everything that's safe for the baby, but the parents can use Melting Balm Cleanser too, as a face wash, as a body wash. And so if you're overwhelmed and can't find something for you, but you found this for your baby, well, then you can just use it for yourself too. Which is really, really nice.
Definitely. And the jellies are like toddler versions and colorful versions of our Lullaby Melting Balm Cleanser. And those are great options too.
I like using it
as a face cleanser, for example, or a shaving gel, or just as, you know, I am a big proponent of spot cleaning and only applying cleanser to certain areas of your body and not to the entire body. And that's something that you can do easily with our cleansers, which you can put on before you enter the water. You put on in certain places and then you enter the water.
And I think the jellies, I haven't tried those for shaving, but that sounds perfect, because I know the consistency. They're bright colored jellies for people that haven't seen them before. And they're so great for kids because they can mix the colors together and play with them in the bath. Almost, it's just like a fun bath time activity, but you could put them on your skin. And then when you would shave and wash it off, it kind of, it changes consistency and it rinses off real easy. So that's a good tip.
it just gives, like, usually when you're shaving, if you're using something, it can be like a stripping action, right? After you shave, right, like, feel just very dry. But when you have this oil-based cleanser there, it, after you shave, your legs are moisturized, and it just a better barrier protection during the whole process.
Great. And so I will share my favorite personal product is the oil. Mm-hmm. It's what I put on my legs and my arms when I get out of the shower. It's so nice. It's a really pretty yellow orange color, and it has a mild fragrance. Actually, okay, I shouldn't say that. It doesn't have fragrance.
No,
it doesn't. It has a mild smell. Mm-hmm. I misspoke, that I love. It's not super strong, and it absorbs the right amount. Cause I find a lot of oils, they either don't absorb or you don't feel like you're getting enough moisture. And I feel like you found the perfect balance with this one, that it gives you moisture and it gives you that pretty kind of sheen on your skin, but it's not super oily. So that is my favorite. That,
and you've hit it right there. And we call it our omega rich oil. It's because I formulated specifically to have those omega-3s and omega-6, which really absorb nicely onto the skin, but are still effective in moisturizing it, because that's what the skin is used to. The skin is used to omega-3 and omega-6. Oh, okay. And knows what to do with. So it absorbs nicely. And I found that to be, even though it's like, oh, why would you release another oil? Well, this oil is specifically made with these rich omega ingredients, because I thought that was lacking in the market. So we have the melon seed oil in there, the Sacha Inchi, and the sea buckthorn fruit extract. And those are rich in omega-3s and 6. And that's the sea buckthorn extract is what's giving you that nice orangey yellow color. And that's there specifically to enrich the skin with these essential fatty acids that do just that, that lightly moisturize the skin.
Nice. And I think this would be a great massage oil for babies. I can remember wanting to give my babies a massage after bath time. I think it would be perfect for that.
Yeah, we are. You know, as like I'm a formulating and the mom, so I recommend this product, you know, when they're a little bit older, like 2-3 months, because one of the things I didn't mention is I love to have, when babies are newborn up until about 3 months, I love to have them with nothing on in terms of skincare. That's why Lullaby works so well, because you can massage it on and then wash it off. And their skin, because it's an oil-based cleanser, it just absorbs a little bit of what it needs. And then everything else is off, because baby skin is changing tremendously in those first few days, weeks, and, you know, that those first 3 months. Their microbiome is formulating, their pH is changing, their barrier is just forming. And then after 3 months, then I would like introduce something like a like the oil, or later on, like the lotion as needed, just for massage and things like that.
Yeah, that's a really good point that you make. New parents will say, what are all the products I should get for my baby? And I'm like, nothing. Yeah. I think as little, I love that you say that in the very beginning, you really as little as possible.
Yeah. And as long as you can, until you get comfortable with it. I mean, I sell skincare and I'll still say it as long as you can, because I do believe in their ability. Like, we got to give them a chance to fully develop their skin before we get too involved with it.
Are there any new Kiss Kiss Goodnight products on the horizon? Anything you're working on?
I would love to, like, every day spend half my day in the lab making new products, but it's just not how the time goes. But yes, we are. I'm going to try to take some time at the end of this year. I always love that sweet period, like right after the holidays, but before, right after Christmas, but before the new year, where I actually sort of check out of certain things and focus on what I really wanted, really love doing. And I'm hoping to, formulate more, and I've been formulating for a long time, but really hone in on products for the microbiome friendly products for the family. So you'll see some products for mom, actually for the family, oil-based cleansers for the family, which will include a face wash and body products, something a little bit more exfoliating for adults, because they need more exfoliation than kids. Kids actually need no exfoliation, and adults like a little bit. So how do we do that in the most microbiome friendly way? Then even a cream, something a little heavier than our lotion. And I can keep on and on, but I'll start doing that. And then eventually move into hair care products. And I'll take some time and formulate a bunch of these, but as I mentioned, these are all not coming out at once. It takes forever to launch a product.
Yeah.
But these are just things I have on the horizon that I can't stop thinking about. And I collect all these raw ingredients in hopes of using them soon, but also see, we'll have, you know, we're, it's not just about the products, but about like the sustainability of the entire network of what we're doing. So we're working hard on that aspect of the brand too.
Oh, exciting.
And that'll be interesting. So the idea of more solid products coming from Kiss Kiss Goodnight. And I have just, in terms of communication, talking beyond the skin, like the microbiome, there's microbiome in our gut and on our skin. And so how can we have a more microbiome friendly lifestyle? And as I try to help my family have a more microbiome friendly lifestyle, I'd like to share that with other families, like what we're doing and what we see. And it's hard. As I say, I said, eat more plants, veggies, food, go outside. It's still really hard. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to communicate more about how we can do that in this modern world. So in terms of our communication, you'll hear some of that from us.
That's great. I'd love to hear from you. I know it's hard to juggle it all, but it's you're sharing some really helpful information. And that just made me think of something. Is there a book that you recommend about the microbiome?
Oh my gosh, you can't see this. I'll read through the list. I kept it really, really close. I kept my books really close because I did want to mention a few.
Oh, great.
So I know in your book club, you guys read Clean by James Hamblin. And I think he has a really fun intro into the microbiome and just the science behind it and the science behind cleaning the skin. I think for moms, The Baby and the Biome by Mania Lili, that's a really good one that just came out within a few months ago. And that
The Baby and the Biome.
The Baby and the Biome is a great one for new parents. It should be like on your, I wish I had that book 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Whitney Bo.
Yes,
The Beauty of Dirty Skin. This is a great one too. And she's very active on both Instagram and TikTok. And Dr. Sandy Skotnicki, she has Beyond Soap. I love this one because I think it was after reading a book like this or an article in response to this book. It talks about how to clean, like how minimal cleaning is sometimes the answer to your problem and how to strategically clean. And, you know, as I talk about more microbiome friendly ways of living, there is going to be like, how do you clean just the right amount? Or there also is like how sometimes your skin does need a period where you don't use products on it. And she goes into all that in this book in Beyond the Soap. So Okay. Those are my four favorites that I've read and reread, and I like sharing information, but it really gives you a different perspective in terms of skincare versus what you see in like the marketing world. Sometimes all you hear about how to take care of your skin is what another brand is telling you.
That's all the information we are getting. You hear, all coming maybe, from marketing.
Mm-hmm, so maybe a little bit from your pediatrician, but you know, these books were great. These were eye openers. And what really struck me, it was like the complete opposite of what marketing was telling, you know, what all the companies were telling me. It was an eye opener to say, hey, why don't you like skip a bath or two, that I would never have thought of that on my own. And these helped. And, you know, another thing I would challenge and recommend maybe is to talk to your pediatrician more about the microbiome and have that conversation with them if it's something you're interested in, because I do think that topic should come up in more doctor visits than it does. How do I care for my child's microbiome, for example? What do you recommend? And just having those conversations with, you know,
opening that line of communication is important. The more that we're talking about it, the more it will become hopefully mainstream to understand.
Yes, I really do think this need. And even if your pediatrician doesn't know more about it, the more people that keep on asking, you know,
then they'll start to look into it, right?
Yeah. I do feel there's some that won't talk about it as much, but there's many that are very much holistic pediatricians And that type of communication is coming about for sure. So create that change.
That's right.
For sure.
And when I'm looking for products, I like that you talked about marketing, because I think it's one thing that I really try to do is go to the heart of it, which is what's in the product. What are the ingredients? And really the marketing stuff doesn't matter at all, actually. And so if you can just try to understand what you're using and how it's affecting the microbiome. So I appreciate all the communication that you are putting out there on Instagram. I know the effort that it takes, and it does help. It helps people. So
yeah, I love doing it, honestly. And you know, as we scale this brand, I am going to have to find a new normal in where production and formulation and communicating all this information fits. But I'm having a good time doing it. I really am.
That's great. That's great. Well, so I want to mention that for people listening, if you're wanting to find Kiss Kiss Goodnight products, of course, all of them are on the Switch Natural app. And Shelly has so generously offered a discount code for on your first order for 15% off with the code SWITCH15. Mm-hmm. And that, again, that's on the app. You can have all the products linked. They're all so wonderful. We only talked about a few. I mean, we talked about the jellies. We talked about Lullaby. We talked about the oil, the balm, which, by the way, the balm.
We talked about all of them, actually.
Yeah. We did.
And
then you mentioned the lotion.
The jellies. Mm-hmm.
The oil and
the balm. Wonderful. Yeah, that's all we have.
If you're someone that's like always used a light lotion, just everyday lotion, that is the one. I mean, it's perfect. It's just the right. It's a light lotion, absorbs well all over the body. It comes in unscented and I think lavender. Right?
Yeah, we have a mild organic lavender in there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so great. So great. Well, we talked about a lot of stuff, Shelly. Thank you so much. I learned a lot from you. I really appreciate what you're doing and for taking the time to talk to me today.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate what you're doing. I mean, I forever love you. I can I tell you, I even use your app as I'm like searching through ingredients. What to formulate, like what does Andrea think about this ingredient? And I'll like scan one ingredient. I'm like,
Shelly. That's all I'll ever need to hear.
Because I love it, because your app will also, if it's something that you're alerted to, it'll give you articles on what's, you know, this is why you decided to alert us on this ingredient. And I love that. Right. Because then good. I get to follow up and I get to learn. And then more so, I get to start looking through those databases myself when I'm researching ingredients. So I think you provide this deeper level of education other than, you know, check off if this is good enough. I think I do get a deeper level of education on how to research ingredients.
It was very important for me to explain why I'm making this decision to flag an ingredient, and just so people that want to learn can really learn, because it's really important. So thank you.